Well, please turn now in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 1 to chapter 2, verse 3. Another bit longer passage, but one that, though is familiar, we should still readily go back to it to be reminded of God's great work of creation. So please give your attention to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, and everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all His work that He had done in creation. Let me read the first three verses of Hebrews 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. May God bless this reading of His word. And would you pray briefly with me again? Our Father in heaven, we ask that You would bless both the reading and the preaching of Your word for our building up in righteousness, that we might truly understand Your mighty works and understand that You are our Creator and we are the creature, that we might know You as our God and Creator and us as Your creature fallen in sin, and that we might praise You for Your glorious grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John Calvin called the heavens and the earth the theater of God's glory. The chief end of all creation is to reflect the glory of the triune God, the glory of our Creator. Man was placed in this world with the capacity to reason, and man was placed in this world with that capacity to reason so that we might see the glory of God in what has been made and then respond with praise and obedience to our Creator. Yet what we see in life is a general rejection of God and a stealing of that worship due to God and a giving of that worship due to God to His creatures. In Romans 1, Paul wrote, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." All men who refuse to acknowledge God as He's revealed Himself in creation are without excuse, because God has put the imprint of His divine nature on what He has made. In other words, we are supposed to look at creation and praise the Creator. And the apostle wrote in Hebrews 11:3 that believing that God created all things is a matter of faith. Believing what the Lord has revealed about Himself in creation is a matter of faith. Now, faith, purely defined, is belief that what God has revealed to us is true. Faith isn't some fuzzy power, like a superpower that we have. Faith simply is belief. It's knowledge and understanding, belief and trust that what God has revealed to us is true. And so we're going to look at a summary of what God has revealed to us about Himself in His work of creation from the other mode of revelation, the Scriptures. In Genesis 1:1 it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." These first words of the Bible should lead each of us to acknowledge our humble dependence upon God for our very existence. Consider what Moses wrote. He said, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So in the moment just prior to the beginning of the history of the universe, nothing existed. Well, one thing existed. The triune God existed from the beginning. The Father, the Son, who was with the Father in the beginning, and the Holy Spirit lived in perfect fellowship together. But nothing else existed until God created it. There was nothing until God created it. The planet Earth, the stars, the moon, or the sun did not exist prior to God's work of creation. The water, oxygen, fish, birds, or animals did not exist. And humans, we who are the capstone, the climax of all God's creation, did not exist in the beginning. Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So what does that mean to us? What does it mean that nothing existed until God created it? It means that unless God created us, we would never have existed. These first words of Scripture should humble each of us before the Lord. We owe to God worship and obedience because He made us. We have nothing about which to boast in ourselves in any part of our lives. Our family name is meaningless in the scope of eternity. Our only boast must be in the Lord who created us out of nothing. But next, notice the refrain that repeats seven times throughout the narrative. Verse 3, 6, 9, 14, 15, 20, 24, and 26. "And God said, let there be light. Let there be an expanse of the waters. Let there be dry land. Let there be vegetation. Let there be the heavenly lights. Let there be the fish of the seas. Let there be the living creatures. And finally, let there be man." And it was so. How did God create all of these things? He said it. The sun came to be because God said, "Let there be a sun." The dry land appeared because God said it. Trees and plants sprouted because God said it. And every creature that walks on the earth came to being in its kind and according to its kind because God said it. "Let there be a walrus." And it was so. What a demonstration of God's infinite power we see in creation. So next time you drive through the mountains, say to yourself, "God spoke these things into being." The construction projects on I-70 and the ski traffic that is upon us now, it gives you lots of time to think about how God made the majestic mountains. And next time you see a roly-poly, before you smash it, realize that it came to be because God conceived it in His will and said, "Let it be. Let there be a roly-poly." Next time you see a nursing baby, remember that God created all things, even this magnificent infant, and He created them by His word. His word executed perfectly and powerfully God's perfect will. And He did it without becoming tired in any way. Now this doctrine is of much use to us. And we should derive much hope in God's powerful word. Why ask yourself this. Why does the psalmist pray in Psalm 51 in this way? Create in me a clean heart. Why didn't he say it some other way? It's because he looks to that infinite power of God who first created all things, and he hopes that God would recreate his sinful heart into a pure heart. Only God can create. So meditate upon God's power from creation until you derive this hope expressed so beautifully by David in the psalm. And seek him for whatever you may need in life. Next, consider Genesis 1:31. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. And Moses goes on to record, then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Consider this detail that's revealed in the first words of Scripture. God completed the entire universe and all of its contents in 6 days. Now, this is a remarkable task. And this fact, it should impress us with the reality that God is nothing like us. I mean, God is entirely distinguished from us. He made us and everything that we are made of. He spoke us into being without lifting a hand. It takes approximately 214 days to travel to Mars. But God created the entire universe in only 6 days. And you might ask, why 6 days? Why didn't he do it instantly? Well, I think the best answer to that question is to consider the fourth commandment. We know from the fourth commandment that God did this work in 6 days for the purpose that we, his image bearers, could emulate him on earth with that same schedule of working 6 days of the week and resting on a seventh. He created us in his image as his image bearers. And in a condescending way, even in the work of his creation, by that beautiful sovereign act, he established the pattern that his image bearers should take up as we live our lives every week that we live on this earth. Consider one last detail about God's work of creation in verse 31. It's subtly different than the five other refrains like this that we see. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. So what was very good about all creation? I mean, can't you look at a man and a human, a male, a woman or a man, and say, you know, couldn't we be better? I'm almost 5'11". It would be so much better to be 6 foot tall. I wish I was stronger. I wish water tastes like Kool-Aid. I mean, there's so many things that we might critique about creation. But you see, when God looked at what he had done, the work of his hands, he declared that it was very good. So what is very good about creation? Have you ever asked that question? I think this is the answer. When God saw his work, he was satisfied that it revealed his glory. When God saw his work, he was satisfied that it revealed his glory. It was good because God called it very good. All creation, it serves God's purpose. It doesn't serve our purpose. So it doesn't matter if you want broccoli to taste like a Tootsie Roll. It serves God's purpose, not ours. Every part of creation ministers to us as God's image bearers. And God's works, they reveal his perfections to man so that we might respond to it with worship
and obedience to God, our Creator. And so when he looked at what he had made, he said it was good because it reflected his glory to his image bearers, that we might respond with the worship due his name. But we can only respond properly to creation by faith. We must hear what God revealed about his work of creation in Genesis. And then we must see what he has revealed by the mighty word of his power with our eyes, informed by his very word. If we believe that God made all things of nothing by the word of his power in the space of 6 days and all very good, every created thing will be good to us too. Why is it? I mean, how is a rattlesnake or mayonnaise or a flu virus good to us? Every work of God becomes good to us by faith, because all creation makes known to us the God whom to know is eternal life. So the apostle wrote in Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand God's work of creation. So the next time you pick up an insect or you taste a vine-ripe tomato or smell the air in a high mountain meadow or see a red-tailed hawk circle the sky above, as his image bearer, stop and praise the Lord, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That same sovereign God who made you into a new creation in Christ Jesus by the word of his power, the living word, his Son Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit of his exalted Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, cause your Spirit to change the way we live and think. May we not haphazardly walk through life ignoring what you reveal to us about yourself in all creation. But may we have hearts and minds informed by your word that respond to you, acknowledging that you created the heavens, the earth, the seas, and all that is in them. And may we offer to you the worship that is due your name. Sanctify us through this truth. Humble us to hear your word, the easy things and the hard things, even your law, which so intersects our life and affects the way we live, and forces us to deal with whether or not we want our own will or the will of our sovereign Creator, without whom we would have never existed. We pray, O Lord, that you would open our eyes and help us to proclaim this good news in our own hearts, to our families, and to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.